So now it is November 25th, but it still is because I was recording a video very, very early on the same November 25th day, 2022, but that was before I went to bed. And now I'm awake again. I've had a decent sleep this time, maybe 7 hours possibly, but I've been getting some food here and getting organized. It was garbage day, and I think we're going to enjoy this study today of Psalm 55, little children. And I don't know why I think that. That's just how I feel right now. I feel positive about things. We don't even have to do it every day, because if we missed today, we could do two chapters tomorrow, I suppose. But I've been so busy with my operating system installation on the external drive that that's been very well. I mean, it hasn't been hard work really, because I've enjoyed it so much. But it's been really a great learning experience, and I've been very busy with it. You never learn everything that you can learn about anything, really, but, you know, including technology. And you can start again. You can start from the beginning every time, learning all about... you don't learn everything all over again, but you learn new things about the operating system every time you are exposed to something like installing an operating system and things like that. I thought for the first time that I gained a bigger appreciation for how easy Apple does make it to install the Mac OS on external drives, which I didn't know. I didn't realize that there was the idea, I'd heard about Migration Assistant. I just hadn't ever thought that I hadn't ever realized how powerful it was, or that it was an effective tool or anything. I believed from my experience with the Windows operating system, although I never used Migration Assistant there either, but I may have read something negative about something like Migration Assistant. I'm not sure why I thought it was a bad thing, or why I misunderstood. But it works incredibly simply and easily. Well, one thing I want to say is that I was very well prepared to install Mac OS on an external drive because of the fact that I had purchased these very, very fast NVMe external drives. I mean, NVMe Thunderbolt drives, which operate at a faster speed, up to 2,700 megabytes per second. Now, when we talk about the Thunderbolt 3 and Thunderbolt 4 bus, 2,700 is the limit of data. Other than if you exclude we know the limit is 40,000 gigabits per second. 40 gigabits per second. That's it. 40 gigabits, not 40,000. 40 gigabits per second, or 40,000 megabits per second, but 40 gigabits per second. 40 gigabits per second. And that's the same as 40. What is it? Wait a minute. What's 2,700 megabytes? What's 2,700 megabytes? Yeah, I misspoke there. 2,700 megabytes is what the speed is. We'd have to divide, to get it into bits, we multiply by 8. And that gives us 21,000. So that's not the limit. No. So that's not actually, 2,700 is not the limit. In megabytes per second, the limit is 27 gigabits, which is okay. 40 gigabits is the limit for the Thunderbolt interface, but only 27 of those gigabits are reserved for data that is not associated with the display technology. So 13 gigabits are reserved for displaying things on the monitors. So 27, this is my understanding, 27 exponent 9 divided by 8 would be our megabits. We should be limited around 3,300 megabytes per second. That's what I'm calculating here. 27 to the exponent 9 divided by 8 to convert 27 gigabits into bytes. So that's how many megabytes per second. About 3,000 megabytes per second. So 2,700, 3,000 megabytes per second is very close to 2,700 megabytes per second. So the fact that it doesn't reach the theoretical limit is a limitation of the fact that, well, it's partly the fact that whenever we buy a product, it never meets the full expectation of what they claim it does, usually anyway. They very often don't meet their own specification, or there's a certain amount of, so the theoretical limit is 3,300. That's what I'm saying. The theoretical limit is 3,300 because the interface of Thunderbolt doesn't allow for anything more than that, because the rest of it is reserved. The rest of the 40 gigabits per second is reserved for display data. You know, not broadcasting, but transferring data on the Thunderbolt bus to your displays that are connected to the Thunderbolt bus. If your displays are not connected over Thunderbolt, of course, it doesn't matter. It's still reserved. That part of the bandwidth is still reserved for those displays, for displays in general. So it's not going to be usable by your data bus for your hard drives or your external SSDs, I mean. So 2700 is a good speed because it's not too much below 3300. That's a very fast external drive, which is the kind of speed that you know, the very best NVMe drives can get. And I had a drive that could do that, and that's what I was installing onto, and that sped up my installation greatly. So it took me 15 minutes to install the OS, and then it took me... First I had to format or erase the drive, which only took a few minutes, or less than a minute, or, you know, I mean, whatever. A short period of less than a few minutes. Then the installation process of the installation of Monterey took 15 minutes, and then I think it was 12 minutes it took to do the migration of using Migration Assistant, which migrated all of my settings. And then I had an identical system that ran identically, but I had problems running it. I thought, with VirtualBox. I'm not sure what those problems were initially that caused me to upgrade VirtualBox, but that was a mistake to upgrade it because it didn't work when I upgraded it. It worked worse. So apparently not, I think the problem was because I had two different virtual machines in VirtualBox, and I was using one of those machines when I was running my 2011 iMac. It worked really well off of one particular hard drive that I have when I was running the iMac, because that was the only drive I had connected to the iMac, so that it had to run off of that drive. But it worked well on that Mac OS High Sierra. It was working fine. But when I'm running it, but that was running VirtualBox, an older version 6 or something. A VirtualBox, whatever version it was, but this is running Virtual 7 on my new system on the M1 Max laptop, the MacBook Pro. Yeah, they could call it a laptop, but they don't. The MacBook Pro laptop, the M1 Max 16-inch laptop, running on that system, trying to run off that same drive that works well on the 2011 iMac doesn't work. So. It didn't work, and I didn't even know it didn't work, because I guess it wasn't even available at the first time I tried it, because that drive wasn't connected to my system at the time I tried it with the iMac. It was connected to the iMac. Now I had it connected. I have both that drive and the other drive that I ran it off of when I was running this system. I had them both. I had both drives connected, so I just picked one of them and tried to run it, and it failed because it was the one that works on the iMac. But I never knew that it didn't work on this system because I never had it connected when I was running this system. I think that's what happened. So, when you're in the heat of the moment doing an installation of an OS, you forget things. You forget that you need to stick to the way you did things precisely if you don't want to have problems. But it's okay because I learned about the limitations of the fact that what should be the identical virtual machine doesn't work. Because it wasn't the identical virtual machine, it had some differences. And for whatever reason, it didn't work running off that drive because it wasn't the same copy. I made copies of the virtual machine on different drives, but there were different copies that I made. One of them I called, VirtualBox VMs, and the other folder I called VMs Running or something like that. The running virtual machines. The VMs Running is the one that doesn't work on my current system. It worked on the other iMac High Sierra OS, but it doesn't work apparently on this system. It works, so it'll run, but it seems to work at first. It'll boot Windows, but after it boots Windows, it won't run the ESORT program for some reason. So it's very difficult to get it to run. Like, it'll run maybe after 20 times clicking on it or something, and then it doesn't boot up quickly. And I don't know how long it's going to take to boot. It might take forever to boot the ESORT program. But now I'm realizing I don't even need the ESORT program. I can get my Bible translations. With the internet, I'll just build my own library of web pages that have all the Bible translations that have all the Bible translations. I'll find a copy of each Bible translation online, because all of the translations that I got on ESORT were all free. They were all free of charge, and that's why they were in that program. I didn't pay for any, so I couldn't get the paid translations. I only got the free translation. So since they're all free, they're all on the internet anyway. I don't need the ESORT program at all. I don't know why I was running it. But I realized the convenience was why I was running it. I could change translations quickly. I could still run it, but it's slow compared to some other ways. But it might be faster than going on the internet and trying to find an individual translation every time. But that's the story anyway. So I don't really need the ESORT program. I have it available because now they have VirtualBox for Apple Silicon, and I'm running Apple Silicon ever since I got the M1 Mac Mini in about August of 2021, almost a year after they came out with the first M1 processor. That's when I bought the Mac Mini, and then fairly soon after that, when the M1 Max came out, I decided to go ahead with making a bigger investment in the M1 technology, and I'm still learning. I think there, I'm still learning. I'm always learning. I'm still learning about how to optimize the use of the technology, and also, I'm interested in having my equipment, all of it, last as long as possible. So now I'm not using the internal drive. I'm booting off the external drive, which is going to hopefully allow the laptop to last longer in terms of the life of the hard drive. I mean, we call it a hard drive. It's the SSD. We might as well call it a hard drive because it still is the sort of the ancient term for SSD, I guess. It used to be a hard drive back before we had SSDs. So anyway, it's good to be awake. I've got some interesting things that I feel like I want to talk about at some point. I'm still thinking about my snow shovel, how I can fix it. But I want to talk about these boots, my gaiters, my new boots. I'm wearing the new boots these are Vibram soles also, the yellow sticker on the bottom. But these are my Merrells. I'm wearing my Merrells today, but then I thought, well, they're not high enough boots. They don't keep my ankles warm. These are not as warm as my Danners. So today I wanted to try the Merrells because I want to break them in. And I think the Danners will get, they need a day or two. They need some time to air out, too. It's not really that good to wear them all the time. But I even though I keep foot powder in them, and I keep my feet well powdered, you know, as I need to. Also, but I mean, so I don't have any problem with the odor in the Danners, but I don't want it to become a problem. So, also, I think that my feet, because the boots aren't broken in yet, I really can't wear them for too many days in a row without getting my feet a little bit uncomfortable. So the Danners are a little less comfortable after wearing them for several days. So, but they're still really exquisite as far as a work boot goes. It's the most comfortable work boot or anything or hiking boot that I've ever had on. But I mean, I need to break them in still, but I think I can take a break from them, so I want to break in the Merrells. But the reason I'm talking about the Merrells is because I've got this other thing here. My gaiters. I've got my gaiters on here. These blue. They're dark blue. These gaiters are navy blue or something. Or they're not navy blue. They're royal blue, I guess. But they're a beautiful way to keep my ankles warm, which I didn't realize I could do. I didn't know I could wear those. But they're perfect for wearing in the house because they give you an air pocket around your ankle that keeps the heat in. And all the way up to your calf, it keeps the lower leg warm without overheating it and causing your feet to sweat or anything, because it's just a very thin fabric of polyester, a very high-tech polyester, breathable fabric. It's high-tech. So, but it's perfect for these Merrells because it's going to keep the Merrells. The thing is, I can wear them with the Danners too, and I never thought of it because I wasn't cold enough to think of that with the Danners. But my feet were getting a little cold, and it'll get colder in here as the winter marches on. So, because I was trying, I realize now. See, this is Jehovah's way of revealing things. He revealed to me that I could wear the gaiters indoors. But he only revealed it once I decided to wear the Merrells, because when I thought of the Merrells, when I started wearing the Merrells, I realized my feet are going to be a little bit cold. And I suddenly had realization that I could wear the gaiters to keep my ankles warm, because I was looking for a way to keep the ankles warm. So I tied some warm socks around my ankles, some long socks, the long wool or synthetic wool. I've got long synthetic, I guess it's not real wool, but it's like wool. Synthetic wool socks. Maybe they're real wool, actually. I'm not sure. They might be real wool. I've got wool socks that I tie. I just thought for the first time I would try tying them around my ankles. And I did that, but then I thought of the gaiters. I thought, oh, let's just wrap them up with gaiters now so the gaiters will keep those socks in there too. My ankles are much warmer. My feet are still getting cold, but I've got the heater on. So I'm going to keep my feet warm by keeping them near the heater. And this room is going to warm up throughout the day, or throughout the night, hopefully. But maybe not at night, because it's getting colder at night. But we'll see. So I'll figure out what to do. And I can always take the Merrells off and put on something warmer. But what do I have that's warmer? I have no idea, but I might need to get some warmer, sheepskin boots or something to wear in the house. I need to figure that out. I mean, even just some sheepskin slippers or something. I don't know what I can wear, but something like that would be good. So, but I mean, it needs to be, they need to be really warm for my feet, because my feet get very cold. Now, right now, I've just got the down jacket on because it was cold this morning when I got out here, probably in the low 50s in the house. I'm doubting that the temperature is going to go much below 50 in the house, even during the coldest times. But it might go into the mid-40s or something, maybe even lower if I don't burn any wood, you know. So I can burn wood, so it's not like it's anything that is, you know, it's not like I can't cope with it. I've got my winter boots I can wear too, which are they're even warmer. So yeah, I've got lots of things I can wear, but I don't want to wear my winter boots around the house because they're not that comfortable and they're kind of clunky. So I'll figure out a way to do everything one step, one thing at a time. I've got my gloves. I mean, the fingerless gloves are perfect for the winter time in the house. Absolutely perfect. It's always good to have more than one pair of everything, like more than one pair of shoes, which I have now. You know, I've got more than one pair of hiking boots now. You know, more than one pair of gloves. I've got more than one pair of, or more than one down jacket. You know, I've actually got this down jacket, which is a light one. I also have a good brand new jacket that's down that I got for a reasonable price. And I had an older down jacket that I bought when I bought my North Face winter jacket. It was a three-part system. It had, or two parts, it had the inner liner, which is down, and then it had the outer liner, which was the hard shell. The hard shell is the one that where the Gore-Tex is falling apart, so I can't use that unless I fix that somehow. But the inner down jacket, I didn't wear that much. It's still in great shape, but a little bit dirty, I think. It needs cleaning. But the gaiters I bought, I think I bought the gaiters at the same time as I bought the North Face jacket. I bought all that stuff when I was in Jasper. I think it was in Jasper. It could have been Banff too, possibly. But I think it was in Jasper that I bought all these things. At least the gaiters and the North Face jacket. So the North Face down jacket, I still have it. It's my working down. It's for putting garbage out and things like that. If it's really cold out, I can put that on, because it's not my best or newest anymore. So this is now about time to start our study, little children, if you'd like to read with me Psalm 55 of David. To the director on stringed instruments, Maskil. Father Jehovah, let's pray, little children. Father Jehovah, help us to trust in you and to guard us from the sins that we may commit without our own knowledge. And we'd like to thank you for the instruction that we get from our fellow believers, also the sacrifices that they make on our behalf. We thank you for those, and we pray that you'd guide us in our study, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do give ear, O God, to my prayer, and do not hide yourself from my request for favor. Do pay attention to me and answer me. I'm driven restlessly about by my concern, and I cannot but show disquietude due to the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked one. For they keep dropping upon me what is hurtful, and in anger they harbor animosity against me. My very heart is in severe pain within me, and the frights of death itself have fallen upon me. Fear, yes, trembling itself enters into me, and shuddering covers me. And I keep saying, oh, that I had wings as a dove has, I would fly away and reside. Look, I would go far away in flight. I would lodge in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten to a place of escape for me from the rushing wind, from the tempest. Confuse, O Jehovah, divide their tongue, for I have seen violence and disputing in the city. Day and night they go round about it, upon its walls, and hurtfulness and trouble are within it. Adversities are within it, and from its public square, oppression and deception have not moved away. For it was not an enemy that proceeded to reproach me, otherwise I could put up with it. It was not an intense hater of me that assumed great airs against me, otherwise I could conceal myself from him. But it was you, a mortal man who was my equal, was as my equal, one familiar to me and my acquaintance, because we used to enjoy sweet intimacy together. Into the house of God we used to walk with the throng. Desolations be upon them. Let them go down into Sheol alive. For during their alien residence, bad things have been within them. As for me, to God I shall call out, and Jehovah himself will save me. Evening and morning and noontime I cannot but show concern, and I moan, and he hears my voice. He will certainly redeem and put my soul in peace from the fight that is against me. For in multitudes they have come to be against me. God will hear and answer them, even he that is sitting enthroned as in the past. Selah. Those with whom there are no changings and who have not feared God. He has thrust out his hands against those at peace with him. He has profaned his covenant. Smoother than butter are the words of his mouth, but his heart is disposed to fight. His words are softer than oil, but they are drawn swords. Throw your burden upon Jehovah himself, and he himself will sustain you. Never will he allow the righteous one to totter. But you yourself, O God, will bring them down to the lowest pit. As for blood guilty and deceitful men, they will not live out half their days. But as for me, I shall trust in you. That was Psalm 55. There's sort of a famous verse 22, throw your burden upon Jehovah himself, and he himself will sustain you. Right. So there are deceitful people even within the congregation. There can be. They're not really within the congregation once they become deceitful. They put themselves outside the congregation when they become deceitful, but they might be in the congregation one day, and then the next day they're deceitful enemies who are fitting this description, where it says in verse 20, he has thrust out his hands against those at peace with him. His heart, in verse 21, is disposed to fight. In verse 16, though, David writes, as for me, to God I shall call out, and Jehovah himself will save me. But these ones who were as his equal in verse 13, and familiar to him, with whom he used to enjoy sweet intimacy in verse 14, he then goes on to pronounce desolations upon them. Let them go down in verse 15 into Sheol alive. It's sad. So what does it mean during their alien residence? That's another question, because it may mean, we often hear about alien residence. It could mean the fact that, it could even refer to the fact that it usually means you're living in a foreign country, right? So, but in a sense, even the Promised Land was an alien place originally, when Abraham first went there. So it could be considered, even living in Israel could be considered an alien residence for that reason. So it's not really clear what this alien residence means. But these traitors or disloyal ones, these people who were at first faithful and good friends, and then who turned against the friendship that they had and turned against their own friends, their people who were sharing, for whatever reason, sharing the same place of residence initially, anyway, at some point, with David in this case, but with whomever or whoever is referred, whomever is referred to in the psalm, which in this case is David, but it could refer to any of us. These people who are sharing their residence with us, what can we call them? That's the question. Do we call them haters? They're fighters against us in verse 18, right? In multitudes, they have come to be against us, or David, as he writes. Jehovah God, in verse 19, God will hear and answer them. He will, that means he will bring, give them, he will bring justice against them. Those with whom there are no changings. These are the ones who have not feared God, in verse 19, and they have also thrust out their hands against those at peace with them, profaning the covenant. Perhaps the covenant of friendship is referred to there. Right? But it's also the covenant of Jehovah that they profaned. Nowadays it's the new covenant, but in the days of David it was the law covenant of Moses that was the prevailing religious, I mean, it was, see, the Jews have always had their law contained within their religious teachings, so they did not really believe in the Roman administration of law was something that was repulsive to the Jews, and that's why they fought against the Jews, and that's why Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 CE also, because the Jews did not accede to the Romans. Since the Jews had their own law in the law of Moses, they wanted to administer their own law. They didn't want the Romans administering law, but the Romans imposed Roman law on their whole territory, including Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. So the Jews fought that because it was repulsive to them. So this idea of he has profaned his covenant could refer to the law covenant for that reason, that it was very important to the Jews. It wasn't just their religion, it was their law. It taught them that it was wrong to lie and steal and commit adultery and kill another human, and all these things that were wrong were taught to them in the law of Moses. They didn't need the law of the Romans. But in David's time, there were no Romans. This was long before the Romans of Jesus' day. That was Jesus' time when the Romans were there. Throw your burden upon Jehovah himself, and he will sustain you. So these people, these apostates, they're not even called apostates. They don't have a name. They're not called haters. They don't have a word that's given to them to describe them in this psalm. Okay, deceitful men, there it is. It could be deceitful men. Okay, in verse 23, we could call them blood guilty and deceitful men. We could call them those things, and maybe that is accurate to describe all of these men who are treacherous, or, you know, who turn against their friends. Right. So let's carry on. Isaiah, we're at Isaiah 35. We didn't do this before? No, we did 34, right? Wasn't 34 similar to that? Let's see. No, that was the judgment against the nations, right. So 35 is a very, 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 very upbuilding chapter of Isaiah. The wilderness and the waterless region will exult. And the desert plain will be joyful and blossom as the saffron. Without fail, it will blossom and it will really be joyful with joyousness and with glad crying out. The glory of Lebanon itself must be given to it at the splendor of Carmel and of Sharon. There will be those who will see the glory of Jehovah, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, you people, and make the knees that are wobbling firm. Say to those who are anxious at heart, be strong, do not be afraid. Look, your own God will come with vengeance itself, God, even with a repayment. He himself will come and save you people. At that time the eyes of the blind ones will be opened, and the very ears of the deaf ones will be unstopped. At that time the lame one will climb up, just as a stag does, and the tongue of the speechless one will cry out in gladness. For in the wilderness waters will have burst out, and torrents in the desert plain, and the heat-parched ground will have become as a reedy pool, a reedy pool, and the thirsty ground as springs of water. In the abiding place of jackals, a resting place for them, there will be green grass with reeds and papyrus plants. And there will certainly come to be a highway there, even a way, and the way of holiness it will be called. The unclean one will not pass over it. And it will be for the one walking on the way, and no foolish ones will wander about on it. No lion will prove to be there, and the rapacious sort of wild beasts will not come up on it. None will be found there, and the repurchased ones must walk there, and the very ones redeemed by Jehovah will return and certainly come to Zion with a joyful cry, and rejoicing to time indefinite will be upon their head. To exultation and rejoicing they will attain, and grief and sighing must flee away. That was Isaiah 35, and it's a very short chapter in Isaiah. And we see that in verse 9. No lion will prove to be there. There's a time coming when we won't have these enemies, these treacherous ones, who well could be illustrated by this illustration of the lion, a rapacious wild beast, such as treacherous humans are. They devour, or they turn upon their fellow humans. But in the case of a lion, of course, he turns upon his prey. And so these treacherous humans make prey of their own brothers and sisters, and they turn upon them in a way which is very unbrotherly, unloving, by their treachery. So it is similar to a lion. At least the lions who are known for this rapacious sort of activity. Now we know that it's talking about a good time that's coming. The eyes of the blind in verse 5 will be opened. And there's going to be a happy time here to exultation and rejoicing. They will attain, we will attain, if we're among them, as described in verse 10. The very ones redeemed by Jehovah will return with a joyful cry. In verse 6, the tongue of the speechless one will cry out in gladness. And the lame one will climb up just as a stag does. Very powerful. Very, very encouraging words in this chapter of Isaiah. The ears of the deaf ones will be unstopped. It's really something to look forward to with anticipation, is it not, little children? And it will really be joyful in verse 2. That's really, really happy. It's a happy chapter. It's really, really positive. Okay, so we've done our study. That was something I wanted to do. But we could do something more because we have a little more time. But also because we haven't done... I mean, we could do the book of 1 John because it has five chapters in it. And we haven't done 1 John yet. John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. So it's a very, very significant book. But it might be a long book to read all at once. I don't know if it is or not. Which we have seen with our eyes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have viewed attentively and our hands felt concerning the word of life. Yes, the life was made manifest, and we have seen and are bearing witness and reporting to you the everlasting life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we are reporting also to you, that you too may be having a sharing with us. Furthermore, this sharing of ours is with the Father and his Son, with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we are writing these things, that our joy may be in full measure. And this is the message which we have heard from him and are announcing to you, that God is light, and there is no darkness at all in union with him. If we make the statement we are having a sharing with him, and yet we go on walking in the darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. However, if we are walking in the light as he himself is in the light, we do have a sharing with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we make the statement we have no sin, we are misleading ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous so as to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we make the statement we have not sinned, we are making him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2. My little children, I am writing you these things that you may not commit a sin. And yet, if anyone does commit a sin, we have a helper with the Father, Jesus Christ, a righteous one. And he is a propitiatory sacrifice for our sins, yet not for ours only, but also for the whole world's. And by this, we have the knowledge that we have come to know him, namely, if we continue observing his commandments. He that says, I have come to know him, and yet is not observing his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in this person. But whoever does observe his word truthfully in this person, the love of God has been made perfect. By this, we have the knowledge that we are in union with him. He that says he remains in union with him is under obligation himself also to go on walking just as that one walked. Beloved ones, I am writing you not a new commandment, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. This old commandment is the word which you have heard, which you heard. Again, I am writing you a new commandment, a fact that is true in his case and in yours, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He that says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness up to right now. He that loves his brother remains in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in his case. But he that hates his brother is in the darkness and is walking in the darkness, and he does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I'm writing you little children. Because your sins have been forgiven you for the sake of his name. I am writing you, fathers, because you have come to know him who is from the beginning. I am writing you, young men, because you have conquered the wicked one. I write you, young children, because you have come to know the Father. I write you, fathers, because you have come to know him who is from the beginning. I write you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God remains in you, and you have conquered the wicked one. Do not be loving either the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because everything in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and the showy display of one's means of life, does not originate with the Father, but originates with the world. Furthermore, the world is passing away, and so is its desire. But he that does the will of God remains forever. Young children, it is the last hour, and just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now there have come to be many Antichrists, from which fact we gain the knowledge that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of our sort. For if they had been of our sort, they would have remained with us. But they went out that it might be shown up that not all are of our sort. And you have an anointing from the Holy One. All of you have knowledge. I write you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie originates with the truth. Who is the liar, if it is not the one that denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one that denies the Father and the Son. Everyone that denies the Son does not have the Father either. He that confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that which you have heard from the beginning remain in you. If that which you have heard from the beginning remains in you, you will also abide in union with the Son and in union with the Father. Furthermore, this is the promised thing that he himself promised us, the life everlasting. These things I write you about those who are trying to mislead you. And as for you, the anointing that you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to be teaching you. But as the anointing from him is teaching you about all things, and is true and is no lie, and just as it has taught you, remain in union with him. So now, little children, remain in union with him, that when he is manifest, we may have freeness of speech, and not be shamed away from him at his presence. If you know that he is righteous, you gain the knowledge that everyone who practices righteousness has been born from him. Chapter 3. See what sort of love the Father has given us, so that we should be called children of God, and such we are. That is why the world does not have a knowledge of us, because it has not come to know him. Beloved ones, now we are children of God, but as yet it has not been made manifest what we shall be. We do know that whenever he is made manifest, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope set upon him purifies himself just as that one is pure. Everyone who practices sin is also practicing lawlessness. And so sin is lawlessness. You know, too, that that one was made manifest to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Everyone remaining in union with him does not practice sin. No one that practices sin has either seen him or come to know him. Little children, let no one mislead you. He who carries on righteousness is righteous, just as that one is righteous. He who carries on sin originates with the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, namely, to break up the works of the devil. Everyone who has been born from God does not carry on sin, because his reproductive seed remains in such one, and he cannot practice sin because he has been born from God. The children of God and the children of the devil are evident by this fact. Everyone who does not carry on righteousness does not originate with God, neither does he who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should have love for one another, not like Cain, who originated with the wicked one and slaughtered his brother. And for the sake of what did he slaughter him? Because his own works were wicked, but those of his brother were righteous. Do not marvel, brothers, that the world hates you. We know we have passed over from death to life because we love the brothers. He who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a manslayer, and you know that no manslayer has everlasting life remaining in him. By this we have come to know love, because that one surrendered his soul for us, and we are under obligation to surrender our souls for our brothers. But whoever has this world's means for supporting life, and beholds his brother having need, and yet shuts the door of his tender compassions upon him, in what way does the love of God remain in him? Little children, let us love neither in word nor with the tongue, but in deed and truth. By this we shall know that we originate with the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. as regards whatever our hearts may condemn us in, because God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved ones, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have freeness of speech toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we are observing his commandments and are doing the things that are pleasing in his eyes. Indeed, this is his commandment, that we have faith in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and be loving one another, just as he gave his commandment. Moreover, he who observes his own commandments, moreover, he who observes his commandments remains in union with him, and he in union with such one. And by this we gain the knowledge that he is remaining in union with us, owing to the Spirit which he gave us. Talking about God and the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So just as God gave his commandment, we observe, or he who observes God's commandments remains in union with God. Chapter 4. Beloved ones, do not believe every inspired expression, but test the inspired expressions to see whether they originate with God, because many false prophets have gone forth into the world. You gain the knowledge of the inspired expression from God by this: every inspired expression that confesses Jesus Christ as having come in the flesh originates with God. But every inspired expression that does not confess Jesus does not originate with God. Furthermore, this is the Antichrist's inspired expression, which you have heard was coming, and now it is already in the world. You originate with God, little children, and you have conquered those persons, because he that is in union with you is greater than he that is in union with the world. They originate with the world. That is why they speak what proceeds from the world, and the world listens to them. We originate with God. He that gains the knowledge of God listens to us. He that does not originate with God does not listen to us. This is how we take note of the inspired expression of truth and the inspired expression of error. Beloved ones, let us continue loving one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born from God and gains the knowledge of God. He that does not love has not come to know God, because God is love. By this, the love of God was made manifest in our case, because God sent forth his only begotten Son into the world, that we may gain life through him. The love is in this respect, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent forth his Son as a propitiatory sacrifice for our sins. Beloved ones, if this is how God loved us, then we are ourselves under obligation to love one another. At no time has anyone beheld God. If we continue loving one another, God remains in us, and his love is made perfect in us. By this we gain the knowledge that we are remaining in union with him, and he in union with us, because he has imparted his Spirit to us. In addition, we ourselves have beheld and are bearing witness that the Father has sent forth his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever makes the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God remains. Just a minute here. Got to get this separate. There we go. Whoever makes the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God remains in union with such one, and he in union with God. And we ourselves have come to know and have believed the love that God has in our case. God is love. And he that remains in love remains in union with God, and God remains in union with him. This is how love has been made perfect with us, that we may have freeness of speech in the day of judgment, because just as that one is, so are we ourselves in the world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love throws fear outside, because fear exercises a restraint. Indeed, he that is under fear has not been made perfect in love. As for us, we love because he first loved us. If anyone makes the statement, I love God, and yet is hating his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot be loving God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should be loving his brother also. So God has commandments here. The freeness of speech that we have in verse 17. Just as that one is, so are we ourselves. That one referring to evidently God in this case. 1 John chapter 5, the final chapter of this book. Everyone believing that Jesus is the Christ has been born from God. And everyone who loves the one that caused to be born loves him who has been born from that one. By this we gain the knowledge that we are loving the children of God when we are loving God and doing his commandments. For this is what the love of God means, that we observe his commandments, and yet his commandments are not burdensome, because everything that has been born from God conquers the world. And this is the conquest that has conquered the world, our faith. Who is the one that conquers the world but he who has faith that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by means of the water, of water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. And the Spirit is that which is bearing witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three witness bearers, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the witness that men give, if we receive the witness men give, the witness God gives is greater. Because this is the witness God gives, the fact that he has borne witness concerning his Son. The person putting his faith in the Son of God is the witness given in his own case. The person not having faith in God has made him a liar, because he has not put his faith in the witness given, which God as witness has given concerning his Son. And this is the witness given, that God gave us everlasting life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has this life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have this life. I write you these things that you may know that you have life everlasting, you who put your faith in the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that no matter what it is that we ask according to his will, he hears us. Further, if we know he hears us respecting whatever we are asking, we know we are to have the things asked, since we have asked them of him. If anyone catches sight of his brother sinning, a sin that does not incur death, he will ask and he will give life to him, yes, to those not sinning so as to incur death. There is a sin that does incur death. It is concerning that sin that I do not tell him to make request. All unrighteousness is sin, and yet there is a sin that does not incur death. We know that every person that has been born from God does not practice sin. But the one born from God watches him. And the wicked one does not fasten his hold on him. We know we originate with God, but the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. But we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us intellectual capacity, that we may gain the knowledge of the true one, and we are in union with the true one by means of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and life everlasting. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. That was the book of 1 John. And we see here that God is really the topic of this book, because he keeps coming back to this. The statement of the true one, the expression the true one with whom we are in union, in verse 20, by means of his son Jesus Christ. So the true one is Jehovah, obviously. So he's not talking about Jesus, which is sometimes meant by the idea of the one we think of when we think of Christianity. We may think of Jesus, but it's not referring to Jesus there. It's referring to God. The one born from God watches him. Now that's got to be the one born from God. Could be Jesus, of course. Yeah, of course, and that's what the footnote says there. It seems as though Jesus would watch. I mean, it's not referring to just any Christian watching him. It's talking about it. You know, Jesus who watches over his flock of his disciples who are the Christians, the Christian congregation. It's talking about the followers of Jesus are being watched by the Son of God, the one born from God, in verse 18. And that protects them or us from the devil, the wicked one. And in verse 19, the whole world is lying in the power of the devil, of the wicked one, the devil. But in verse 20, there's a remarkable statement there that the Son of God gives us. He's the Logos, but he gives us the intellectual capacity, which is, it makes sense because he's the Logos. He's the source of logic, so he gives us intellectual capacity so that we can gain the knowledge of the true one, and that refers to Jehovah, because it says in the same verse, we are in union with that true one, with the true one, by means of his son, Jesus Christ. So the true one has a son, and that means, and because his son's name is Jesus Christ, we know that the true one is Jehovah, the true God. And then we're admonished to guard ourselves from idols. But it's a very important concept that not only is God giving us his son to watch over us, but also if we don't accept Jesus, we do not have God. We have to believe in Jesus Christ. It stresses that throughout this letter of John, that we don't have anything. If we don't believe in Christ, we can't have God. We can't be believers in God if we don't believe in Jesus Christ. The two are inseparable. There are three witness bearers, the Spirit and the water and the blood. The Spirit, of course, being the fact that Jesus was a spirit creature before he came to the earth. The water, referring also to the fact that he came to the earth and was born to a human female. We know there's water associated with the birth of a child. When the water breaks, the child is born. And the blood, referring to the fact that Jesus died for our sins and shed his blood, or allowed his own blood to be shed in sacrifice. And there we have the sort of essential doctrine of the Christ, but it's not a Trinity doctrine that's suggested by this. There's no Trinity mentioned here at all, which some people have attempted to put upon this verse 8, 1 John 5 and 8. But anyway, the witness of God is greater than the witness we get from other humans in verse 9, because Jehovah gives us a witness concerning his son, and this everlasting life that we get is only gotten by believing in the Son of God. This is the witness given, verse 11. God gave us everlasting life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son, Jesus Christ, in other words, has this life. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have the everlasting life. It's John is very, very even repetitive on this. He keeps attempting to get this point across because he knows that many people miss this point, that we need to accept Jesus in our lives in order to have the truth. Many people miss that. They think they can do it on their own, or they think they can have God without having Jesus. But if you deny Jesus, you're missing what God provided for our salvation, who was Jesus. And through whom, or through whose sacrifice, we gain everlasting life, because it was a ransom for the sin of Adam. But John doesn't really go into the sin of Adam here in this particular book. We know that from all the other scriptures. We know that from the Hebrew scriptures as well, that foretold the coming of a new covenant, and many things that were prophesied about the Messiah, of course, and also Paul's writings that describe, because Paul had a great deal of knowledge about the Hebrew scriptures, Paul describes how Jesus fulfilled the need for a good sacrifice, a better sacrifice than the animal sacrifices, a sacrifice of righteous blood that would provide the ransom for mankind and redeem mankind from death by paying for the sin of Adam. You've conquered those persons. Right. See, there are people who don't confess Jesus, but we as Christians conquer those people because we have a person in union with us who's greater than the devil. We have God. We originate with God in verse 6 of 4, 1 John 4, 6. We originate with God. If someone doesn't listen to us, they don't originate with God. That's what 1 John 4 and 6 says. Anyone who listens to us originates with God. If we believe in God and Jesus Christ, we know that's true. John tells us these things, but we in order for these things to be valid in our case about whether people listen to us or not, in order for those things to have any validity, we have to be believers in Jesus in order for this statement to hold true in verse 4 and 6. So, I mean, people often talk about being in union with Christ Jesus, but really this book of 1 John, this letter that he's writing to fellow believers whom he calls little children, his fellow disciples, but he's an older man when he writes this, so he writes to them as though they're little children. This book refers to God as being the one with whom we are in union, rather than Jesus. We're in union with God, Jehovah, but not only. I mean, we can't do it with Jehovah by himself. We need Jesus in order to be in union with Jehovah. We need to believe in Jesus. We can't separate the two because God provided Jesus as a loving provision for our salvation, not just for our welfare, but for our salvation, our everlasting salvation. It's a very important concept, but many people just either haven't heard about it or they don't accept it, or what, for whatever reason they don't accept Christ. But if they haven't heard about it yet, there's no reason to prejudge them, as to, we don't know how they're going to react to it yet. But I think many people, when they're particularly people in the upper class of society in the Western world, many people may not be favorable toward this idea, toward this belief, because they don't really think they need anything if they're financially well off or if they're financially provided for. They may not think they need any salvation, but of course, if they're aware of their spiritual need, then they're aware that they're going to die at some point if they don't have everlasting life. So it's not everyone who would reject this message, but people who are rich tend to put their faith in riches rather than put their faith in their wealth rather than faith in. I mean, there is a thing about that. There is a problem with let's see. Let's look up something. Not many wise. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 26, not many wise in a fleshly way were called, not many powerful, not many of noble birth. So it doesn't mention the rich, but it mentions these powerful, noble ones who very often are rich, and they may be rich. So it's connected sometimes with money, but not necessarily. But not many wise in a fleshly way were called. The Christians who were called into the truth, who believed because they were called to believe, so that when they heard the message about Christ, they felt a calling. They felt like it was calling to them to become Christian. That's what the calling is referring to. Those people who were called, who felt the calling, were not generally rich and powerful, wise people. They were foolish people. They felt called because they had nothing in the world, or they had rejected the world already because they knew the world was foolishness to them, and the world thought they were foolish because they thought the world was foolish. They saw the nonsense or the hypocrisy in the powerful people of the world. They saw that, these foolish people, so-called foolish things of the world. They were the ones who typically, and are the ones who typically become believers. They're chosen by God, the weak things of the world, they're called in 1 Corinthians 1 and 27. Because God, Jehovah, wants to put the strong things to shame, it says. He wants to have the wealthy people put to shame. Because Jehovah knows that wealth and nobility and power and all those things, whatever they are, it may not be wealth, but whatever thing, it's things of the world, right? Things of the world. Things, fleshly things. Money is a fleshly thing, perhaps, because it provides for our fleshly needs. It doesn't provide for our spiritual needs, money. So not the idea of not many wise in a fleshly way, see, it sounds like it's referring to money. Fleshly things. Money can buy us fleshly things, things that feed us, things that, you know, can provide transportation to us, and things that are fleshly, that serve us, our houses, things like that. They're all fleshly things. They're not spiritual things. In verse 28, God chose the ignoble things of the world. Is that the right pronunciation for that? Let's try it. Ignoble? Yeah, it looks like ignoble is the correct pronunciation there. That he might bring to nothing the things that are. But here it says, you see, it is due to God that we are in union with Christ Jesus. So it talks about, Paul talks about union with Christ. But in the book, the letter of 1 John, as we just read, the five chapters of which we just read, John talks about being in union with God. But in order to be in union with God, he says we have to accept Jesus Christ. But Paul writes about it as being in union with Christ Jesus. It's a slightly different a slightly different approach or a slightly different way of expressing it, of expressing the faith in Jesus, right? And then the release by ransom, Paul, in verse 30, Paul acknowledges the ransom sacrifice of Jesus. But then he says in verse 31, he that boasts, let him boast in Jehovah. So that's in harmony with what John writes about being in union with God. So I think that's enough for today. I just had my garbage day today. Why was I mentioning that? I'm trying to think why I'm mentioning that. Well, I have to remember to put out the garbage at certain times before it's, I have to do that before I go to bed sometimes, or, you know, to remember to put it out. But I did that, but it was sometime, I think I put the garbage out at 3 in the morning this morning, because that was when I remembered to do it. But I had prepared it beforehand, so it was easy to just bring it out, fairly easy, but it's a fairly big endeavor if I'm not prepared sometimes. But no, I've got to think about these trees that are lying outside. I've got branches lying on the ground. I'd like to gather some of them up and put them out as the yard waste, because I can't burn all of that, or I can't cut it all up to burn it, because it's too many branches. Some of it I can burn, the thicker branches probably, but most of it's not dry yet anyway. So I've got a lot of wood I can burn that's in the form of branches and things that aren't heavy wood, but I don't have a lot of dry wood right now. So besides the wood I have in the basement, that's some of the ash I have I can burn. But I've got some dry wood out there. Though the snow on the ground has gone away. Finally, we got a respite. We got a respite from... At last, we got a respite from the snow. It's gradually been melting, and now the weather's warmed up again. Oh, tomorrow it looks like it's going to be really warm. We were supposed to get a bit of snow today. But tomorrow it looks like very little chance of snow. And then there's going to be some snow coming, but not too much, it looks like, but some. 1 to 3 centimeters, or about an inch, say. Half an inch to an inch. And also, tomorrow looks really warm and sunny, so it should melt all the remaining snow, so I can do, if I want to pick up some more leaves or work outside, tomorrow would be a possible day I could do that, but I'm never awake during the daytime. Right now, I'm awake at night, and I'm sleeping in the daytime. So that's why I got up today as soon as I could. What time was it? I'm trying to remember. I went to bed at 11 this morning, which is the latest I've been to bed for a long time. So, but I stayed up, and I guess I feel pretty healthy to be able to stay up that long and work that long. I must be healthy. So I had a few issues, slight pains in my feet and knees, but that's because I'm sitting around too much. I'm not getting enough exercise. I don't think I have any real lasting or serious or even very little pain in my knees and legs, actually. It's not persistent or anything. It's just an occasional, in the case that I'm talking about, which was yesterday. I think it was just because I sat around too much. I'm not using my feet and legs enough. That's what I think. But I'm always paying attention to what I need to do. Always paying attention to it. And usually it's just nutritional that causes all the issue. It's not really ever caused by lack of exercise, these issues. Oh, yeah, it is if you're sitting down, it's bad. Yeah, that's true. It is caused by lack of exercise. A lot of things are caused by that. But, I mean, if you're sick and you have arthritis, exercise will not make it better. That's what I mean. You have to get your nutrition right. And then, you know, then you just have a lot more possibilities to do exercise. I mean, you're far healthier if you get your nutrition right. And I've talked about nutrition many times. I'll have to talk about it about that thing, that subject, more too, more than I have, because it's such an important topic. So, I mean, my main foods are matcha tea, I think, and yogurt. They're my main, matcha tea latte and yogurt are my main sort of foods, and I'm eating potato chips actually as another source of nutrition, but I don't eat, it's very easy to eat too many of them, so I'm not eating too many potato chips, but I'm very selective about which kind of potato chips I buy, to do with the oil that they use on the potato chip and what salt they use. But I make chili as well, and potato soup, and I fry fresh potatoes too. I make home fries. I've got fish in the cupboard, in cans. I've got other vegetables in cans. But nutritionally, vitamin K2, and I take vitamin K2 with magnesium and calcium and vitamin D. I take iodine. Krill oil, boron, vitamin B12, selenium, glutathione. I have a multivitamin. I take collagen. Coral calcium. I eat yogurt with pineapple usually, if I have pineapple. Or I can eat canned fruit like mandarins with the yogurt. Or apples with the yogurt. I have apples in the fridge. I can eat canned pineapple with the yogurt too. But it's far better to eat yogurt with fresh fruit. Well, yeah. Another bag of arrowroot I got delivered. So, that was good to get that, because it increases the, it makes the ratio of arrowroot to the kale and clay better, so I can make my foot powder and not run out of the arrowroot before I run out of kale and clay. When we order things online, think about what you need to order. It's time. So, it's time to go. It's Ward Green, November 25th, 2022, 21:35 hours. It was a pleasure talking to you. I hope you enjoyed yourself, little children. As Paul writes, guard yourselves from idols, and praise Jehovah, though, as well. In Jesus' name, thanks for watching. Bye for now. I love you.